How much of this is political opportunism? Hey, we're going to have this war on drugs. Vote for me. I'm tough on drugs. We'll go back to a simpler time when people didn't snort coke and smoke marijuana.
You know, ask yourself to answer the question this way. In any program you can put in, there are always some winners and some losers. Some people come out ahead, some people come out behind, and that's certainly true with regard to drug prohibition, the war on drugs. Ask yourself then, and I hope our listeners are asking the same along with us, who is winning today with regard to the war on drugs? And I have six groups. See if you agree with me. Now, the first, transparently, are big-time drug lords, big-time drug dealers. They're making millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars a year, tax-free, by the way, and they're winning. And by the way, no one in law enforcement will tell you that we seize more than 10% of the illegal drugs in our society, and the more candid ones will tell you the truth, which is it's about 5%. So for every ton of cocaine that's seized, for example, and you can't imagine how much a ton is, it's not a victory. It's simply a symbol of the depth of the problem, because we easily fail to seize somewhere between 10 and 15 tons. So they're winning. Number two group of people that are winning are the juvenile gangs all around the country. Virtually all of them have their primary source of revenue from the sale of illegal drugs, and they're using it as a recruiting tool to tell our children, oh, come join our gang, be part of the action, you too can make money selling drugs. The third group of people that are winning are those people in law enforcement that make huge tax money in order to fight against the first two groups. Now, George, and you and I will certainly agree on this, and pretty much everyone else listening, I'm not pointing the finger at law enforcement and saying, you failed us. It's kind of akin to, you know, law enforcement's doing a far better job than we have a right to expect. They're arresting more people, getting larger seizures, longer prison sentences. Blaming law enforcement for the failure of drug prohibition is kind of like blaming Elliot Ness for the failure of alcohol prohibition. It's the system, not law enforcement. But nonetheless, law enforcement continues to get larger, bureaucratically more powerful, more money. They're winning. Fourth group of people that are winning are those in the private sector that make money because of increased crime. Who is that? People that build prisons, enormously lucrative thing to do. People that staff prisons. You know, in California, my state, the prison guards unions, the largest political lobby group in our state, and it's probably pretty much true all the way around the country, they're winning. People that sell burglar alarm equipment, security services, they're winning. Fifth group of people that are winning are the politicians that talk tough with regard to the war on drugs. Not smart, but they get elected and reelected by doing this. And then, and this one's a real tough one, and this will hit people right between the eyes, the sixth group of people that are winning are the terrorist organizations of the world.
Yep.
Again, pretty much every single one of them has drug prohibition, the sale of illegal drugs, as its primary source of funding, to the degree that I call drug prohibition the golden goose of terrorism. And who is losing? George, everybody else, particularly our children, and that's where we really, really break down as well.
I look at the costs of this, and not only the financial costs. So there's an excellent article in the LA Times, you probably saw it like a week ago, that estimated our country has spent maybe $1 trillion. That's probably a low estimate.
That's a low estimate.
Putting people in prison.
Sure.
On the industries that you described, the industries that support the prohibition. But there are other costs. The cost to our civil liberties, for example. Wiretaps and false arrests and false imprisonments, things of that sort.
We have lost more of our civil liberties because of the war on drugs than anything in our country's history. I did write a book called Why Our Drug Laws Have Failed. And again, it's available if you want to just look at judgejimgray.com, and all this information is there. But I have a whole chapter called The Erosion of Our Civil Liberties, and if I were to rewrite it, I'd put a subheading in, Where's Paul Revere? Why is no one spreading the alarm? Because when you lose your civil liberties to the government, you virtually never get them back. It's a travesty. And are we in better shape because we've lost our civil liberties? And of course, the answer to that is no.
And how does it manifest itself? How have we lost our civil liberties? Which ones have we given up?
Well, the answer is yes. In my book, I graduated from USC Law School in 1971. So arbitrarily, I just drew the line there and I said, okay, what were our Fourth Amendment rights prior to that? Well, if you were arrested, you could only be searched in any area that you could reach from the point that you were standing up. So yes, they could search your pockets, they could search anything that was reachable, but for example, they could not go into the trunk of your car, and they certainly couldn't search a locked suitcase in the locked trunk of your car. But now they can, citing only United States Supreme Court cases dealing with drugs, and now that has been eroded such that the police, if they arrest you, can go into the trunk of your car, they can actually open a locked suitcase, all without a warrant, which they couldn't do before. They also can search any passengers in your car. They can force them to get out of the car. They can search them, too. It just goes on and on. And are we safer? Are we in better shape today because we've lost these civil liberties? That's under the Fourth Amendment. You could say the same issues with regard to our Fifth about self-incrimination, our First about assembly and the rights of speech. The Sixth with regard to criminal representation at trial. It's a disaster, and it is caused, again, by drug prohibition.
What about the exclusionary rule? Is that toast?
No, the exclusionary rule still survives under the Fourth Amendment. It's pretty much ingrained, I think, in our society, but it's certainly being eroded, so you exclude a little bit less and a little bit less, but at the moment it's probably about 80% of where MAP the Ohio was when it originally came into being. And I think it's going to be with us for a while. And honestly, the police are pretty comfortable with it. They know what the circumstances are. They know that if they have the government intrude without a warrant where they should have had a warrant, that they're going to lose that evidence. So they adjust accordingly. It's kind of like your Miranda rights. You know, they're comfortable with that now. They know what the score is. They follow the rules because they want this statement. They want this evidence to be admissible in trial. So they obey the rules. But if you shortcut the rules, then, of course, the police will adapt as well, and that's, of course, what we're seeing.
You know, what bothers me so much is seeing these erosion of civil liberties and the public going away along with so much of it. You know, they say to themselves, well, look, I don't use drugs. I don't have drugs in my trunk, so I don't mind nibbling away at the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth Amendment. Go right ahead, because we need to stop these drug criminals.
George, the soul of our country is our liberty, and we are giving away the soul of our country because of things like this. And it's a disaster to see. We've done the same thing with regard to the so-called war on terrorism with the so-called Patriot Act, which is why I left the Republican Party, by the way. It was unnecessary for our safety, but you just cannot take the court review process out of government seeking to wiretap or to involve themselves in these certain things. We have to have these protections, the checks and balances, and the Patriot Act was a disaster in that regard.